Spirit Blade Underground, episode 268. Warning, access restricted. Please submit to DNA verification. Processing. Verification complete. Access granted. Welcome. Audio file encryption processing. Transmission decoded. Begin playback for system file. Spirit Blade Underground, episode 268.
Okay, so that's what that button does. What are these buttons for? Oh, hi. Where's the script? Where did I? Ah, here it is. Let's see. Monitor room, Spirit Blade Underground podcast, biblical examinations. Okay, look, yes, before you check your feed, this is the monitor room at the Spirit Blade Underground podcast. A biblical examination and celebration of geekery and geek entertainment. And, as those of you who are exceptionally perceptive have noticed, I am not Pater Franson, the usual host of this show. My name is Tim O'Donnell, and Pater can't come to the microphone right now. You see, a few of us decided to hijack the show today and give Pater a break. Or two. I'm sure it'll heal by next week. But for now, you're stuck with us in this listener-created episode. So stay calm. Don't make any sudden movements. And I won't have to start pushing random buttons. On the show today, we have not one but two comic book reviews. We will be reviewing Marvel's Avengers Arena and Top Cow's Ravine. Also, we have a look at what the Bible has to say about money and how that applies to us geeks. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride.
Hello, this is David Arrington of the Helix Reviews Podcast. I'm here on the Spirit Blade Podcast to give you a review of one of my favorite current ongoing series, comic book series, Avengers Arena, Murder World. Avengers Arena is an ongoing Marvel comic book series that follows 16 young superheroes as they are kidnapped by the villainous Arcade and placed into a huge arena to fight to the death. A couple of the heroes consist of Apex, X-23, Metal, Red Raven, Kid Barton, and Darkhawk. I bought a lot of the issue of number ones of the Marvel Now relaunch, but when I saw this at my local comic book shop, I passed it up, thinking it was just a ripoff of the Hunger Games and Battle Royale premise. But when I went again the next week, and it was still there, I thought, why not? Might as well give it a shot. I've never read an issue of The Runaways or Avengers Academy from which most of these heroes were taken, so if the writer wants me to care about these people at all, he's going to have to tell me from the ground up who they are and why I should care. So, obviously, I didn't have high expectations for this series, but issue number one blew my socks off. We are now past issue number seven, and this still continues to impress. The writer Dennis Hopeless is so good at making me care for these characters that I've never even heard of. I love the relationship between Hazmat and Metal. I love how sweet young Riker is. And I love, love, love Darkhawk's plan and attitude once he is in the arena. Speaking of Darkhawk, he and X-23 are the only heroes I've even heard of before reading this series, and I'm hoping Darkhawk survives this series. Now let's talk about Arcade. I've read some comics featuring Arcade, and I've always enjoyed him as a villain, but in Avengers Arena, he is so good. He is slick and a big show-off, and he has new, ultra-powerful superpowers. His shtick is that he creates a place called Murder World, where there are crazy mazes and situations that he sends superheroes through for his enjoyment, but his hero-to-death ratio is embarrassingly low, so he comes up with this brilliant idea so that more heroes will have to die by his hands. And boy, does it work. Nobody is safe in Murder World. But it doesn't just seem like it's killing for the sake of killing. And once again, credit goes to the writer, Dennis Hopeless, for making a compelling character piece instead of a mindless bloodbath. The biggest problem I see with new readers wanting to jump on this series is that you have to start from issue number one. If you jumped into the middle, you might be confused as to what all is going on. The first trade paperback is coming out and is ready for pre-order on Amazon.com right now, and it collects the first six issues. You could pick that up probably by the next issue or two, and then you'd be all caught up and ready to subscribe to the series. In the end, what could have been a lame ripoff turned out to be a fantastic look at how these teenage characters deal with a devastating life-or-death situation. And this is a comic I eagerly anticipate each month. This is David Arrington of the Helix Reviews Podcast, signing off.
Hey, I'm Katja from the Netherlands, Comicate on the forums. Today I'm reviewing Ravine, a graphic novel. Ravine is spelled R-A-V-I-N-E, Ravine. It's written by Stjepan Sejic and Ron Mars, who some of you might know. It's illustrated by Stjepan Sejic, and it's published by Image and Top Cow. It calls itself an epic fantasy graphic novel, which I totally agree with. And it says, among other things, and I'm reading this to you, after acclaimed collaborations on Witchblade and Artifacts, artist Stjepan Sejic and writer Ron Mars team for their first wholly original work, a grand fantasy in the tradition of The Lord of the Rings and Game of Thrones. The graphic novel series Ravine begins here. Enter music. So let me start here. I do agree with the description that it has some similarities to The Lord of the Rings and Game of Thrones. With The Lord of the Rings, I'm thinking the movies more than the novel, especially because of the great vistas, big scenes with lots of extras. The grandeur of it all is definitely can be found in this graphic novel as well. And as for the Game of Thrones, I think it does have somewhat of the same grittiness, the politics between the characters, the different countries or realms that are competing with each other or have their own plots. The Game of Thrones obviously also had a lot of nudity and sexual scenes, and I'm glad to share with you that this graphic novel does not resemble it in that way. Well, I thought I'd share that with you because I'm guessing there are many male listeners and male readers of the forums who do not want to be tempted. This has somewhat of a dark atmosphere, the grittiness, as I said. It also, by the way, has a sense of humor and many a scene that is more lighthearted. Well, let me start at the beginning. The novel starts with a dedication, a beautiful dedication that the writers each wrote to their wives. I'd like to read that for you because I dug them a lot. Stjepan Sejic, he writes, "To my wife Linda, because all this began that day in college when I decided to draw you wearing armor." And Ron Mars adds, "To my wife Kirsten, because without you there is no us, and without us there is no anything." Ah, that's so romantic, I love that. Anyway, so we start off with a map. And I love that already because it reminds me of all the great fantasy novels that I've read, you know, the actual novels. And I really like that this graphic novel starts off with you know, the same kind of map that I know of these other novels. So great. And then it has a prologue, and the prologue, it contains a story, well, it's a sort of a background story. It's set a couple of hundred years before the actual main storyline. I love it. And then we have, well, a pretty hefty story. I took me 3 hours without taking even one break to get a cup of tea because I did not want to leave my couch because then I would have to turn away my book and I didn't want to. So it took me 3 hours to read, approximately. So that's great. I mean, that's great comic reading, 3 hours in a row. And then it ends, of course, with a cliffhanger. And that is so frustrating because it ends with a teaser trailer for a second issue, which they have cleverly done, by the way, because they show you 6 panels of the second issue. And then they say, summer 2013. Really? Ah, the wait. Anyway, so this is a great fantasy story with a hero, a heroine, wizards, warriors, kings, queens, politics, evil plots, plots behind plots, you know, everything you could want from a fantasy epic. And of course it has the dragons as well. Then in the back of the novel it has a glossary, which I only discovered after I finished the story. Thanks a lot. Well, it's my own fault. Anyway, this glossary would have been a great help because there are a lot of words, you know, the typical fantasy terminology with the difficult names of peoples and countries and specific terms that I had to find out for myself or give some meaning to. And then I finished the story and I discovered this glossary.
Okay.
And it also has a cast of characters, which also would have been a great help had I bothered to look in the backside of the book. So I recommend you check it out if you buy this book. And after that, there's a series of background tales, and they are world-building tales, among others about how the dragons made first contact with the humans and the different peoples that live in this world, etc., etc. So all in all, it's a great story. It's a great artwork. The writers have been so kind to make, I think, the first 20 or 21 pages available for free for anyone who wants to try it out. So just Google for Ravine free, you know, some terminology like that, because this is how I found it. And this is so generous of them, because after that I was hooked. So maybe it was also very commercially clever, of course, but I appreciate that. So try that out digitally. I read most of my comics digitally, by the way, but this one, because of the beautiful art, I bought in its paper form. And besides, the iPad is only 10 inch, so, you know, it's too small, I'm guessing. The paper version does have one disadvantage as well, because when there's a landscape page, I don't always see that it's landscape because the way it's bound. So sometimes I found myself, you know, not grasping what the characters were doing or saying, and then it turned out I was reading it in portrait instead of reading it from left to right landscape. So this is the one disadvantage, and the iPad, of course, does not have that problem. So overall quality, I give it a 9 out of 10, because this is one of the best graphic novels or even comics that I've read in quite some time. It ticks off all the boxes: story, characters, artwork. It's overall, it's great. And as for relevance, I give it at least a 7 out of 10, because it does have some interesting potential topics, in my opinion. In one of the background stories in the back of the graphic novel, it actually has a scene with a dragon that reminded me a bit of the biblical scene in Eden. Not so much literally, but like, we all know that Satan wants to be worshipped, and in this story they make humans wanting to worship a dragon. So this, I think, in itself is reason to give it a 7 for relevance, because this will lead to some interesting conversations if you meet the right people. Anyway, this was my review, Riding the Smooth Waves of Kevin MacLeod's Water Prelude, www.incompetech.com. Thanks for listening, love the show, and tot de volgende keer!
It is time to be happy. It is time for a contest. Fabulous prizes. A winner is you.
I know I'm cheating a little bit, but I just had to bust in here for just a minute to tell you guys about our contest that we're running. I want to thank Dave Mattingly of Blackworm Publishing, your home of experimental fiction and role-playing. Blackworm is giving away another novel on our show. If you guys haven't yet, be sure to check out blackworm.com. That's WYRM.com. The content is aimed at geeks in general, but it's run by a believer. Dave has also helped found the Christian Gamers Guild, so consider supporting his efforts by seeing what he and his writers are up to over at blackworm.com. Today, Dave Mattingly and Blackworm are giving away Dark Halo by Christopher Kakoski. The description reads, "In a town besieged by shadowy demonic forces, a father races against time to save his family. 35-year-old Landon Paddock has deserted his wife and daughter, abandoned his business, and secluded himself in his late parents' southern Indiana ranch. But he's barely lapsed into a drunken coma when a mysterious winged stranger appears during a violent lightning storm, chasing him out into the maddening night with his estranged 15-year-old daughter. As layer after layer of reality is dissolved by a series of violent encounters, the only way to survive might be for Landon to band together with the family he destroyed to make one last stand against a sinister army of unthinkable magnitude. Hope, family, and redemption lay in the outcome." For a chance to win a copy of Dark Halo, go to our show notes and check out the link to our full contest rules. I'm not going to go over them all right now because I'm about to jet out the door out of town. But go to our show notes, click on the link for our full contest rules. Submissions are due by June 5th. 2013. That's coming up really fast. June 5th, 2013. Good luck.
The truth will set you free.
Truth is that which corresponds to fact or reality. To assert that truth is not absolute is a self-defeating proposition. Now, lots of things are possible, but our beliefs should reflect the best explanation of the available evidence. I'm no expert, but the information is out there. You'd be amazed what you can learn if you spend some time in search of truth.
The truth will set you free.
Good morning, everybody. This is Drew, and I want to start off by saying thanks to Peter for giving me the opportunity to do this week's In Search of Truth segment for him. So, in this week's In Search of Truth, I wanted to see if I could come up with something that's relevant to the beginning of the summer of free. Let's face it, we're geeks and we're nerds. And this means we probably have very geeky and or nerdy jobs. And the last time I checked, a lot of those geeky and nerdy jobs don't make us the millions that entertainers, politicians, stockbrokers, and investors tend to make. And since as a community we try to hype up the summer of free, I thought it'd be fitting to go in search of truth for what the Bible has to say about financial stewardship. It actually says a lot about how we should handle our money. I'll try to be brief for the sake of the podcast, because I know my church has done several multi-week series on Christian financial stewardship, and I just can't cover all the same amount of material in such a short amount of time. So what have I found? Well, I found that there are three main principles to financial stewardship in the Bible. And that first biblical stewardship principle is that God owns everything. You want proof? Look no further than Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You create something, it's yours. You made it, it is yours, you own it. So God creates the heavens and the earth, he owns everything. David reinforced this when he wrote in Psalms 24:1 and 2, "The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters." And in the New Testament, Paul reaffirms this same thing in his letter to the Colossians when he says, "For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him." You can find that in Colossians 1, verse 16. And the second biblical principle, stewardship, is that we are just stewards. The Bible shows the truth of this with Adam and Eve. They had full run of God's paradise, the Garden of Eden. They had everything provided for them from God's gift. Adam was put in the garden to work it and take care of it. You see that in Genesis 2:15. After Adam and Eve sinned against God's command to not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what happens to them? They get banished from God's garden, and they can't take anything with them. You see that in Genesis 3:24. So we see with this story, we're just stewards. God gives us something to take care of, and if we don't do it, we get kicked out. So this leads into biblical stewardship principle number three. We can't take it with us. If life hasn't taught you anything yet, and if it hasn't taught you this specific thing yet, I'd encourage you to think about the most recent funeral you may have attended. Four dearly departed didn't take anything with them, neither will you and neither will I. Solomon points this out in Ecclesiastes 5:15 when he says, "Naked man comes from his mother's womb, and as he comes, so he departs. He takes nothing from his labor that he can carry in his hand." Paul seconds that in 1 Timothy 6:7, "For we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it." And Job, even at his lowest point in his life, agreed, saying, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." You'll find that in Job 1:21. So I think we can see here, we definitely are just stewards, and we're not going to take anything with us. Everything that God made, it's still his. It's always going to be his. We just have to take care of it for a while. That goes for physical possessions, material possessions, monetary, even the talents that we have in within ourselves. Now, I've been using this word stewardship and having biblical stewardship principles. So what does that word mean? Well, let's look at the answer for that. A steward is basically it was described as a household manager in the ancient Greek world. And this steward would handle the household owner's finances. And of course, they're accountable to the owner for how that money was spent, but that was their responsibility, to spend and take care of the household finances. Look at Genesis 39 for the story of Joseph. He was the most popular of biblical stewards. He was a slave to Potiphar, but he was entrusted by Potiphar that all the Potiphar had except his wife. Look at Genesis 39:9 for that. Now Joseph got unfairly accused of a crime and got thrown into jail. But what happened? At the end of that story, he comes out with even more prestige and position. He became a prime minister, got put in charge of the entire palace, and in charge of all the people except for Pharaoh. You see that in Genesis 41, 40, and 42. What do we understand from the story of Joseph? And yes, I know I just covered that very briefly. But there are two things from the story of Joseph that we can take away from this. One, a steward is going to manage the property of others. And two, a faithful steward, like Joseph, who is faithful to his master, will receive greater privileges. Jesus also reinforces this with the parable of the talents. Being faithful with what the master gives you is going to bless you. You can read the story of the talents in Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. But just to quickly sum up for you, if you haven't read it, in this parable, we see three servants being given and asked to manage a sum of money from their master. Two go out, invest, and double their master's money. They get rewarded with even more money and more position. The one who doesn't, he's punished. He's thrown out, and it says there will be gnashing of teeth. So what does this show us? It shows us that if we're wise and faithful with what God gives us, we can believe that he's going to bless us with even more. Okay, great. God wants us to be prosperous. Well, yes, God wants us to be prosperous. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's also a warning with it. Look at Job 31, 24 through 25, and verse 28. Job says, "If I put my trust in gold, or say to gold, you are my security, if I have rejoiced over my great wealth, the fortunes my hands have gained, then these also would be sins to be judged, for I would have been unfaithful to God on high." So while God asks us to be stewards of his stuff, he also asks us to be faithful stewards of his stuff. Never turn money into what God is supposed to be. So while having financial blessings is great, we are warned not to let it become an idol for us, but to look upon it as a gift from God. So, God wants to bless us. He's asked us to have stewardship of his possessions, and if we're faithful and good to him, he's going to bless us. Well, what are the biblical principles for the uses of money? And I think there's seven of them that I found while doing some research on this. Number one, we have an obligation to give to God. God describes in the Old Testament what he expected in the way of tithes and sacrifices from his people. He also showed that the result was greater blessings. Next couple segments are going to be taken from the book of Proverbs. So look at Proverbs 3, 9 through 10, where it says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth, and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine." Giving the first to God acknowledges that it was from him that the harvest had come, and that the remainder of the harvest would also come. Secondly, we have an obligation to pay our debts to others without delay. Proverbs warns us about withholding payment when we have the money to pay. Look at chapter 3, verses 27 and 8. "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, 'Go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it,' when you have that money with you." To those whom it is due are literally its owners. Those whom we owe, whether it be the government for our taxes, you see that in Romans 13, 1 through 7, or payment for services rendered, really own the money that we are withholding, not us. We're the ones keeping what others owe from them when we withhold payments. This is teachings of the Old Testament. You can see Deuteronomy 24, 15, and Leviticus 19, 13, and in the New Testament, James 5, verse 4. Thirdly, we have a responsibility to provide for the needs of our own household. You see this in 1 Timothy 5, 8. "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Fourth, we have an obligation to help provide for the needs of the poor. Here's where I think being a good and faithful steward really comes into play. Remember, money isn't ours. It's a blessing from God, and we need to be able to bless others with it. he's going to bless us for being faithful stewards, we definitely should be blessing others. There's a lot of Proverbs on these, so I'm just going to not try to read them all. I'm just going to give you the scriptures. Look at chapters 11, 24 through 26, chapter 14, verse 21, chapter 14, verse 31, chapter 19, verse 17, chapter 22, verse 9, chapter 28, verse 27, and chapter 31, verse 20. Fifth, we should make provisions for future needs. And there's a difference between hoarding and being greedy and being prepared. You can see this in chapter 6, verse 6 through 8, where it says, "Go to the ant, O sluggard, observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food for the in the summer and gathers her provisions in the harvest." You can also see this in chapter 21, verse 20, where it says, "There is precious treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man swallows it up." Wise investments. Look at Proverbs 31:16. It says, "She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard." The Bible actually encourages us to spend our money and make wise investment choices in its commendation of this godly woman when she makes her wise investment. And lastly, number 7, we should make provisions for leaving an inheritance. Proverbs 13:22 says, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous." So, how do we as geeks and nerds apply the biblical stewardship principles to something like the Summer of Free? I would like to believe that as we seek out and participate in more activities of the non-cost variety, we think about how we can redirect the money that we aren't spending into the biblical uses of money, to bless others less fortunate than us, to pay off the debts that we said that we will, to make sure that we are providing for our families first, but most of all, to make sure that we're giving back to God. Every Sunday at my church, we celebrate the giving and receiving of tithes and offerings. Whenever our associate pastor says this, the entire congregation just breaks out into great applause. Why? Because God loves a cheerful giver. But it's also because we recognize that giving back to God our tithe is an act of worship. For many years, I personally didn't bother giving to a tithe because I lived paycheck to paycheck, and sometimes even behind on a paycheck. I was most definitely not a cheerful giver when I was giving anything at all. But I went through a well-known financial advisor's Peace University, no shameless plug there, and convinced myself to get on a budget and made a commitment to start tithing and become a better steward of the money I was making. Essentially, I was barely able to afford the things that I wanted, and I admit at the time I just had a motorcycle repossessed. And I committed to finding a way to take on yet another bill that I did not think I could afford. I should note that when I decided to start tithing, the amount of money I was actually starting to commit to tithe to was actually more than the amount of money for the motorcycle payment. Somebody go figure that one out for me, because I still can't. Because strangely, once I started taking that first tenth out of my paycheck on a regular basis, I suddenly found out that I had more money and was able to pay all my bills on time and still had money in my checking account when I was done. And within a few months, I paid off one bill and was on my way to successfully paying off another. There's no explanation how I could essentially pick up a new bill, larger than one that I had just gotten rid of, no increase in wages or income, and still have this kind of result, except that by becoming a wise steward of what God was providing for me, He doubly blessed me. So, as I wrap up, let me encourage you, and let's use this upcoming Summer of Free to see how God can bless us as we seek to become good and faithful stewards of His gifts.
Welcome back. See, that wasn't so hard. I'm sure everyone made it through mostly intact. But enough kidding around here. We want your feedback, your input. We want to hear from you. Request a review. Give Peter your thoughts, questions, whatever. Just call and say hi. He worries. It all helps make the show better, and I won't be forced to do anything extreme. Go to spiritblade.net/underground to record a message with your computer. Send an email to pater@spiritblade.net or call 206-350-1226. With all these ways of getting in contact with them, there really is no excuse. Now, if you want to help make sure Spirit Blade Productions can keep doing what they're doing, or do more of it, both faster and better, you're invited to make a donation of any amount, anytime. Or become a part of the Spirit Blade Insider Program and get monthly exclusive goodies. For more information, you can check out spiritblade.net/donate. Now look, I know it's been different this episode. I know you've probably grown a little attached, and honestly, who could blame you? You can't help it, I can't help it, but you're going to have to find a way to make it through, because Pater will be back next week with a review of the movie After Earth, and if you can squeeze it in, a review of the classic dungeon crawl board game, HeroQuest. Plus, the winner of a Dark Halo contest will finally be announced, and an all-new contest will be revealed to your earholes. In the meantime, we thank you for listening. Have a great week, and I hope you come back next time to the Spirit Blade Underground podcast as we continue to geek out and oh gosh, I forgot the line. He says it every week, and I just blanked. Come on, Tim, think. Oh wait, isn't it something like, seek the truth?
The Spirit Blade Underground is a community-supported endeavor of Spirit Blade Productions. This podcast is produced by Peter Frenson with support and contributions from the Spirit Blade Underground community. For more information about the Spirit Blade Underground, visit spiritblade.net/underground. Or for information about the variety of activities and products by Spirit Blade Productions, visit spiritblade.net. Thank you for listening.